There is power in prayer. Amen. Rukouksessa on voima. Amen. Amen. How many times in your life have you prayed? Have you ever thought about that? How many times in your life you have prayed? A million. Countless. At least in the thousands. Hey, that's what I like to hear. A million. Awesome. You're a millionaire. But it's amazing to think about, really, throughout your lifetime, how many times you have prayed. I'm sure it's in the thousands for many of us. Consider your day, your week, and how often prayer is a part of that routine. If it's not, it needs to be. It needs to be. I start and usually end my day with prayer. I often pray for people during the day. I go to prayer meetings. And still I pray a prayer of thanks with my family before we eat together. Prayer is kind of this natural part of my life in certain areas, but then in others, it's not so natural and I have to force myself to do it. Does that make sense? When we come together as a church like this, it seems like prayer is natural, right? It comes easier. But when we're alone going throughout our daily routine, it doesn't come that easy. And we have to be mindful of it. Hey, okay, here's an opportunity to pray. And you may notice when it comes to praying with somebody else or praying for somebody, your flesh resists that, right? But we must overcome the flesh with the Spirit. Prayer is simply speaking to God. What a gift. Think about that. Speaking to God, the creator of the universe, the heavens, the earth, that he would tilt his head, his ear, and listen to your prayers. If you're like me, there's times that you've prayed short prayers or other times where you've prayed longer prayers. You probably prayed for certain circumstances and situations in your own life, in the life of others. You have prayers of praise and thanksgiving, and prayers of petitions, asking for things. Prayers of sorrow, prayers of joy. At times you have prayed in public, and at times you've prayed in private. Maybe there have been times when you thought long and hard on what to pray about. Something specific. And maybe there's other times where you just opened your mouth and the prayer has just flowed out before God. All of those are different prayers and different ways of praying. And as I thought in preparation for this message, it led me to think about two questions. How often have I prayed a powerful prayer in my own life? And how often have I experienced the power of prayer in my life? I was reminded about Dr. Costamo while he was overseas, I believe in Africa, and he's a surgeon, and he was performing multiple surgeries per day in an emergency situation there, and he was exhausted. But he was speaking in one of our men's breakfasts how he felt the prayers of the fellow believers literally holding him up when he was weak at the surgery table. That's amazing. My wife's back has been healed by the power of prayer. My grandma was healed from cancer by the power of prayer. Even my own mother was healed of cancer by the power of prayer. There are countless prayers that have been answered in my own life from God's provision for my family, for my children, to these miracles taking place in my family. I think all of us have in some way experienced the power of prayer in our life. Lift your hand up if you've experienced the power of prayer in your life. Amen. Glory to God. God answering prayer in the perfect time is not a coincidence. That's God moving amongst us. We know that when we pray to God who listens and answers according to his perfect and pleasing will and purpose. Christians throughout the centuries, throughout history, have experienced the power of prayer. But maybe too many of us have assumed for far too long that powerful prayers are always prayed by someone else other than ourselves. Have you ever had that thought? Hey, my prayers aren't that powerful, but this person's is. I've been there. The truth is, prayer is one of the greatest blessings God has given to his church. Prayer is a powerful spiritual weapon. Prayer is one of the most important things in the life, in our faith life. It's often said that prayer changes things. And I believe God wants prayer to change us too. I believe God wants every one of us to move forward in our prayer life, individually, corporately, together, the church, his people, to be powerful prayers that pray powerful prayers. The Bible teaches that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, right? God has not lost his power. But sometimes it seems that our prayers are devoid of any power. Church, the miracle-working God we read in the Bible still works today. And he will continue to work tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, for eternity. We need to expect God to answer our prayers, to have faith that God answers, that he will answer, because he does. Maybe we need to trust God more, that he can work a miracle in our own life, in the lives of others today. We need to really trust in the power of prayer. Jesus says in Mark 11:24, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." These are the words of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, telling us, believe that you have received what you asked for. And of course, we know this isn't the context of God's will that is taught to us through the scriptures. Each and every one of us has the potential in faith to pray a powerful prayer, and we do. Even the smallest whisper and sigh of prayer to God is heard, and he answers. Powerful prayers like the prayer of Moses that saved Israel, or Elisha that raised the dead, or like the prayer of the church that rescued Peter from prison, or like the prayer of the church on the day of Pentecost that led to 3,000 people being saved in the birth of the church. Prayers of people who had the faith to believe in God's power and in God's promises. Powerful prayers because he is a powerful God. The life of Abraham comes to mind. Life was not easy for Abraham. Abraham had times when his faith wavered. Abraham had the faith to go to a new land where God called him, but he did not believe he and Sarah could have a son. But there's one thing that Abraham teaches us. It is sincerity. There's times when God tests us to see how sincere we are in what we are asking him for. In Genesis 18, there's an account of what God appeared, when God appeared to Abraham. And they spoke with each other. Remember earlier I said that prayer is like speaking to God? Imagine what a difference it would be in our lives, who spoke face to face with God like Abraham did here. Let's read it. Genesis 18, verses 20 to 33. And this is after God reveals his plan for Sodom and Gomorrah to Abraham. And Abraham speaks to the Lord to intercede for Sodom. Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went towards Sodom. But Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke again, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5 people?" "If I find 45 there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Once again he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found there?" he said. "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?" He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" He said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?" He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. Abraham spoke, he prayed, and asked God to spare the people of Sodom and Gomorrah if there are even 10 righteous people found there. But there were not 10 righteous people found there, and God did not spare the city, as we read and know. But God answered the heart of Abraham's prayer by bringing Lot and his family out of Sodom, who was found righteous. And this passage shows us that, like Abraham, we need to be persistent in prayer and intercede on the behalf of others in prayer. Persistent praying helps develop our strength and our faith, but it also helps other people. It's what Jesus taught in the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18. Did you guys read it last week? After last week's sermon, I asked you to read Luke 18. Anybody? Hand up. Okay. One. Awesome. Let's read it together, all right? We got a few minutes here, so we'll read it together. Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. And he told them a parable, this is Jesus telling them a parable, to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" How much more will a just God answer the prayers and requests of his people than an unjust judge? Much, much more. God is moving. He's answering prayers. I'm so thankful for the baptisms this summer. We've been praying for baptism to fill that tank, and we've done that. God has been faithful. He's answered prayers. Kids being saved. People, God is moving. Let's keep praying. Let's keep pushing forward in prayer and into God in prayer. We worship a living God who rules from heaven above, and his kingdom is being ushered in. It is here around us. And that's why we pray and ask that your kingdom come, your will be done, as earth on earth as it is in heaven. We as his church, his people, his body are part of that kingdom of heaven, which is near to us. And we must be a people of prayer. Persistent prayer. Let's not grow weary of praying, but let's press into the things of God. Seek for his face through prayer and intercede in prayer for another God's hands moving amongst us and does wonders amongst us. Let's be a praying church. Let's be a praying church. I know we are, but let's be even more of a praying church. And I don't know about you, but my prayer right now is that God would teach me how to fast. How to pray and fast. I don't know if fasting is a regular part of your prayer life, but it should be. There's power in praying and fasting. So as we move forward this fall, our mission is to pray. That is our call to action this fall, to pray for the will of God to happen amongst us as a church and in our lives, and to fast. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together before we sing our closing song together.